Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Mark Howard will join us in about 25 minutes or so. Caroline Fenton is here. Ian is here. So Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, on the show. Greg can say whatever he wants. Nobody's going to be mad. He doesn't have a fan base to talk to. Greg Wyshynski says, even if the Predators win game two, no shot to win this series. What do we think? What do we agree? Do we disagree? 615-737-1025. Caroline Fenton, do you agree with Greg's candidness about the Predators' chances of winning the series?
I personally disagree, because if the Predators do take game two, why can't they win the series? The series is going to be tied, and they're coming back to Nashville, and they're going to get a ton of momentum if they do win game two, winning game two and coming back home. So I think that those are two key components. If the Predators lose game two, I still think there's a small chance, but my chances go down a lot. But I mean, I say if they win game two, why can't they win this series? I understand that Carolina is the better team. I understand that they looked like the more dominant team in game one, but there's a lot left to the series.
Ian, do you agree if they win game two, they're still not going to win the series, according to Greg Wyshynski?
I tend to agree with Greg.
Why?
Well, I don't know. I just don't have a great feeling about the Preds being able to elevate their play enough throughout the entire series, regardless of what happens, to be able to overcome the entire team. I just don't think they have enough horses.
I'm torn in between. I'm in between, because I think that stealing a game on the road would be a big one. You know, I think if they win game two, I think it would be a big step in the right direction for the Predators. I really do. I mean, I really think that would be, you know, all you have to do when you're the road team. We had Terry Crisp on last week, and I asked Crispy, you know, throw out the coaching BS of, hey, every game's important. How important is it just to take one at Carolina? And Crispy said, it's a big deal. You know, you want to just steal one. That's all you say is steal one, go home. I kind of agree with Ian. I kind of agree with Greg. I don't think there's any guarantee you beat the Carolina Hurricanes at home. And, I mean, after watching last night's game, I think I'm a little torn, because I don't want to overreact to one game. Again, you lose game one of a series. That happens. You're the road team. All you've got to do is take game two. You know what they say, it's never a series until the home team loses. All you've got to do is take game two, defend Bridgestone Arena, and you're going back to Raleigh to try to win it in game five. But at the same time, I mean, like Carolina, I wonder if last night's game was just the pure indication that at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, when the going gets tough, when the true playmakers come out at night, is Carolina better than you? And was that what last night was? Football, we always have this feeling, like, because there's only one game in the playoffs, that what happened in that one game is a for sure guarantee. Now, I can for sure guarantee you that the Titans aren't Super Bowl contenders, but if they had played the Ravens 10 times, I think they would have won 5 or 6 of those times. I'm not for sure that Baltimore was better than the Titans. The Titans went to Baltimore and beat them. So I could see that going either way. I don't want to take one playoff game and say that that's gospel for the series, but it confirmed so many of my beliefs about the gap between the two teams. And it's almost like John Hines had devised this just wonderful secret plan that nobody saw coming. And as he goes through this plan about, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put in Matthew Olivier. They are going to have no idea. Ian brought this up yesterday. What if they put in Olivier and Janot? And it's like, oh my God, y'all, you're really going to trick them. I'm going to put in Ben Harper. I'm going to put in Eric Goodbranson. Boy, you showed them. We're going to be physical. We're going to be tough. We're going to hit them in the mouth, and they're not going to be able to respond. They out-hit the Predators last night 56-49. That's +7 for Carolina. That was your best game plan that you had a week to devise. And they out-hit you. That is concerning. What's your second option now to that? Because clearly you don't think you could beat them straight up, right? So, like, what's the second part?
They're going to have to try and lock them down defensively.
You think that's going to work?
And I don't know if it's going to work for the whole series. You know, over time, you would think Carolina will find a way. But, I mean, I think that's their best chance to try and steal a game, at least game two, and just make it a super low event kind of style game, you know? Just pack it in.
You're really talking about Barry Trotzing it up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what's going to... So in 2012, and this is one of my favorite series because I think it's when I really became a Predators fan. In the 2012 series against Vancouver, Vancouver was so much freaking better than the Predators. They had Ryan Kessler. They had the Sedin twins. I'm trying to think of who else was on that team. Roberto Luongo was in net. They ended up losing in seven to the Bruins in the Cup Final in 2011. They were freaking awesome. The 2011 Vancouver Canucks. I mean, this team, Pekka stole game two in Vancouver, and I believe he stole game five in Vancouver. I mean, just stole them. That team was so much better than the Predators, and Pekka was awesome in those games. And even the games at home, I think they lost a game in overtime to Vancouver, but Vancouver was just so much better. And I wonder if that's what we're looking at, where to Ian's point, you can muck it up and maybe you get yourself a game or two, but can you really win four against this team? And I think last night, you know, I walked in pre-Greg Wyshynski interview. I walked in with the idea that, hey, you lost last night. I don't like how it went down. I don't like some of the issues that came from it for what it may mean for, you know, is Joe Hansen going to play hard in the playoffs? Is Ryan Ellis really that bad? You know, those kind of questions I don't like. I mean, they're very uncomfortable. But I didn't, you know, hey, you lose game one. Move on to game two. You win game two. You steal home ice. And then the more I kind of think about Wyshynski, the more I'm like, was last night's game kind of the showing of the talent, the gap between the two teams? We talked about it yesterday. What's the gap? What is the gap between the two teams? Was the third period the definition of that gap? And so I'm kind of torn. Wyshynski says they can't win the series even if they win game two. I shouldn't say can't. He said they won't. You disagree. And I'm somewhere in between.
I disagree in that I don't think that if they win game two, I don't think that they win the series. But I don't think that they don't win if they win game two.
615-737-1025. What do you think about it? 615-737-1025. We're right to your phones next. Mark Howard will join us at 4:30. His reaction to game one, his thoughts on game two. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. Again, if you're looking for a place to watch the game tomorrow, Party Foul in Cool Springs. It's a brand new location. Is the place to watch it. They will be giving away a pair of tickets for game four, and they will be announcing that you must be present to win in the second period. So that's Party Foul, Cool Springs Boulevard, Cool's Galleria Boulevard, 1914 Galleria Boulevard. We'll be there tomorrow from 2 to 6. But again, everybody come on out and enjoy that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Stillman & Company. Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. This week, it's buy one, get one free tickets to Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon. Beach Bend Park is your ticket to summer fun. Double your fun and double your savings with BOGO admission. Two parks, two tickets for the price of one. Get yours now at thegamenashville.com. Stillman & Company, we're live from the wholesaling studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Without the, for lack of a better word, fear of coming out of the lineup, how do you as a coach motivate them when perhaps they don't have, you know, they don't have that idea of coming out of the lineup, perhaps, you know, creeping over their shoulder, so to speak?
Well, that's the responsibility. You know, they're good players. They're prideful guys. They've, you know, there's really no question on that. It's just, how do we help them and how do they help themselves get to the consistency level and the game that we need them to get to? And I think that's what part of it is here. And that's when you're in those roles and you're in those, you have that responsibility, then, you know, it's the combination of the players and coaches to figure out the way that we need to get to play. But I think when you get to this point in the season, Adam, when you're in the Stanley Cup playoffs and you're going through, it's not about, you know, whether you're going to come in or come out. It's driving a team, wanting to win, competing for the Stanley Cup, playing the best when the chips are on the line. That's all part of that role. It's all part of the responsibility when you're in that role.
That was John Hines earlier today. Not sure I really love that answer, right? Like, how do you motivate the guys that are definitely going to play at a higher level? Well, you know, it's not about that.
Well, then what is it about?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if I love that answer right now. We're trying to figure out how to motivate these guys, play a little bit better. I get a little concerned. Do you have a thought or do you want to go to the phones?
To the phones.
Phone 615-737-1025. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Mark Howard will join us with his game one reaction in 10 minutes. Alexander going to kick us off here. Thank you for calling. Thank you for waiting. Go ahead, Alexander.
Thank you for taking my call, Jared. Love the show, and I'm so excited about the Preds in this playoff run. But I just need to see more of Elie Tolvanen. I feel like he was our spark plug leading up to this, and it seems that our power play is non-existent without him. I don't care if he's not 100%, but he can skate circles around Ben Harper. So that's my – and thank you, guys. Have a great one.
Yep. Thank you for the call, Alexander. What do you think makes Hines look the worst as far as the Tolvanen situation is concerned? The fact that the power play looks lifeless, or the fact, as Greg Wyshynski brought up, which is a point I made on Friday, which was – if you're really planning for the future, don't you want Tolvanen and Fabbro to get experience in the playoffs? And the third part about this is, who got you here? Matthew Olivier did not get you to this point. Matthew Olivier was on the team this year, I believe, before Elie Tolvanen was. Matthew Olivier didn't get you here. Ben Harper played at times, but he didn't get you here. Eric Goodbranson didn't really do anything to get you here. Who got you here? And to me, that was, you know, Saros and Tolvanen. I mean, those were the two guys that when things were really bad, and Pekka, because Saros was hurt, that when things were really bad, Tolvanen was what turned it around. And now you're benching him. And why is Tolvanen, to Hines' point right there about the guys that are going to be in the lineup no matter what that need to play better, why is Tolvanen not one of those guys? I mean, I try to figure out, and again, we talked about this at length on Friday. We talked about it yesterday. To me, there is a pro and a cons list of benching Elie Tolvanen. And this is not second guessing. This is first guessing. But there is a pro and a cons list. And I thought the pros for playing Tolvanen far outweighed the cons. And I guess they disagree, but which part of it do you think bothers you the most that they didn't play Tolvanen?
I think right now the most immediate impact that the Predators need for the playoffs and if they want to win the series, it's the power play. I mean, you could see the difference in the power play whenever Elie Tolvanen came back from injury. It was just so much more electric. So I think right now the thing that bothers me the most is that the Predators don't have Elie Tolvanen's contributions on the power play. Looking forward and looking down the road, if they want to become the type of team that the Carolina Hurricanes are playing like, you have to get Elie Tolvanen and Dante Fabbro in the lineup in these big time crunch time games. So immediate impact, the power play. Looking down the road, it's them getting that pressure experience in the playoffs.
I just don't know. I mean, I know what they were thinking, and I get it, but I just was so against it then, and I'm just so against it now. To your text, 615-737-1025, what's in the text line, Carol?
This is kind of a hot one.
Give it to
from
me.
From Alex, and it's Alex's birthday, so he's allowed to be a little spicy, so happy birthday to Alex. Alex said, honestly, they couldn't pass like Carolina could, and Saros let in some softies. If he loses again, I say start Pekka at home and get a shakeup.
That will be a topic if they lose Wednesday night. That'll be a discussion on Thursday and Friday about, you know, should they play Pekka? I thought Saros was good last night. I didn't think Saros was incredible, unbelievable, but I don't blame the first goal on him. I thought that
he
was a
bad count. He didn't get any help.
I don't blame Saros on the second goal. That was a great shot by Jordan Staal. I don't blame Saros on the third goal, because that was a complete defensive breakdown with Ben Harper, Eric Goodbranson, and Ryan Johansson with their thumbs up their rear end. And the fourth goal was, which was the fourth goal, Ian?
The Staal goal, where he kind of corralled it in the slot and kind of wheeled it and it went five hole.
Oh, yeah, that was just, I mean.
It was kind of a loose puck, and he kind of, I don't know if he necessarily out-muscled anybody, but he just kind of, yeah, Saros, I don't think, saw that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a 50-50 one. If you want to blame that one on Saros, you can, I guess. But, and then the fifth one was an empty netter. So, I don't have a problem with Saros. Just telling you right now, Saros last night, not the problem. You know me, I'm a Pekka guy, but Saros not the problem last night. What else we got?
One texter said, Preds definitely deserved to lose that last night since Carolina just played harder. Their goals were skilled shots, and the Preds definitely did not punch them in the mouth.
Are we substituting the word harder for better? Carolina is better than the Predators.
Mm-hmm.
But the Predators should be playing equally as hard, if not harder than Carolina. I mean, maybe I'm wrong here, but I'm not questioning effort with the Predators last night.
No.
And I feel like sometimes there is a lot of questioning when you hear Carolina played harder. Well, that is a question of the effort of the Predators. I'm not questioning the effort. I think Ryan Ellis is playing hard. I just think he kind of stinks when it comes to playing good players, big players on really good teams. So I go back to this in that question. Do we think that that's the right, you know, adverb that they played harder? Or do we think that they're just better? Because there are two different things. I think Carolina is way better than the Predators. I don't think, though, effort is a problem for the Nashville Predators. If you want to discuss it with Johansson, that's been a three-year topic. But I thought they played hard last night.
They did play hard last night, and I think it's just a matter of they weren't able to play hard for 60 minutes. They played hard for 20.
Well, I see if you say that, the way you just said that they played hard for 20, is it that they played hard for 20 or is it they played well
for
20?
They played well for 20.
Okay.
They wanted it for 60. It's not a matter of wanting it or effort.
When you say somebody stinks or somebody's not good enough, which is, I think, the bigger issue here, like Greg Wyshynski doesn't think the Predators can win the series because he doesn't think they're good enough. That's not questioning somebody's character, right? That is, you're not good enough. There are a lot of people that I think would love to host a radio show and, you know, put a microphone in front of them and they would care about it and they'd work hard, but they're just not good enough. Then there are some people that just wouldn't really work hard at it and just walk in and go, all right, what do we talk about today? What happened? Oh, baseball, yes. We'll interview Bobby up next. You know, like that kind of thing.
That's not the Predators.
Right. Like, I think the Predators are playing hard. They're just not good enough. And I think that's the one thing that I don't want to get too into is not playing hard. Because you know me. If I see not playing hard, it will come out of my mouth. There are no sacred cows on this radio show. I mean, but I think it's the better problem, not the plaguing hard thing. And I wonder with Hines, you know, he's trying to challenge these guys to tell them to play better. I mean, some guys are going to turn that off because some guys are going to hear that as, I need to play harder. It's like, coach, I'm giving it everything I got. And I worry about that. You know, coach Hines' coaching style, I mean, I think it's certainly one of those ones that's it's going to test you. It's going to test him to see if he'll be able to do it. 615-737-1025. We'll get more reaction, but Mark Howard will give his reaction next. What did Mark Howard think of the game last night? We'll have Mark Howard join us here on the program. ESPN 94.9 is the home for Nashville Sounds baseball tonight. The Sounds open a six-game homestand at First Horizon Park against the Gwinnett Stripers, the AAA affiliate of the Atlanta Braves. I will be going, I believe, to a Sounds game on Saturday. And you might see me
fun
at the Sounds game. Pregame with Jeff Hym begins at 6:20. First pitch 6:35. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 is presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans and 312 Pizza Company. Stillman and Company, Mark Howard next. It's ESPN 102.5, the game.
The Carolina Hurricanes get three third period goals and win game one by a 5-2 score.
Yeah, I mean, we came in and we had a lot of guys that have made cases for themselves to play. And obviously, the group tonight didn't get it done. So, you know, we have some guys that are not in the lineup that we know are ready to play and can really contribute. So that's all part of the process. You know, we came into game one. We did some good things. 2-2 tie game going in the third period. We didn't find a way to win it. So now we'll just go right through the evaluation process on the game, on our lineup, evaluate the players tonight and go from there.
That was John Hines. Game one, Predators fall 5-2. Do you buy in? Because I guess I struggle with John Hines. Mark Howard will join us here in just a second. I guess I struggle with kind of the, you know, it was one game, you lost the one game. And I try to figure whether or not I'm living in the moment. you know, if I'm just so caught up in last night's game, because I did think when Philip Forsberg scored to make it 1-0, and I did think when it was 2-2 going to the third period, I did think, you know, hey, can they pull this out? Because people forget, in 2017, pulling it out was the key to beating the Chicago Blackhawks in that series. They pulled out game one. They pulled it out. They were outshot 29-20. They scored one goal, but they played tight hockey. They only committed two penalties for the entire game. I mean, I felt, you know, in that game, I felt pretty good about, hey, if you just pull this one out, could this be like the Chicago series part two? And then when they ended up getting blasted in the third period, there's a part of me that maybe resents that or is more angry about it because it felt like they were so close. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. It was just, I think it's frustrating because the Predators did play so well in the first period. And it's also so frustrating because last night just kind of confirmed everything that I thought this series was going to go. And I kind of had some very wishful thinking that they could pull it out in game one and get that good momentum and take away the momentum from Carolina early. But I think last night just solidified that the Hurricanes are just a much better team than the Predators. And I'm not saying that, okay, the series is over and let's throw in the towel. Good job, Predators. Good season. Because no, there's potentially six games left. But last night, I think, exposed a lot of my concerns about the Predators.
So I'm with you in that regard. I also have just been just kind of scrolling through the text line. Boy, the text line is fired up about the lineup. I mean, they want to bench everybody, or
the
text
line wants Rocco.
Rocco Grimaldi. Again, the problem is their guys are big, strong, fast, and good. Rocco is one of those things, maybe fast. He's not big. He's not strong. He's not good. He's not defensively sound. He's not any of those things. Rocco's not. I saw somebody said they wanted Ryan Ellis to be sat on the bench. I'm like, you're not sitting Ryan Ellis on the bench. Will you play Eric Gudbranson some more?
Like, I think fans are so fired up about the lineup because the fans were able to see what some of the guys who weren't in the lineup last night were able to do to get the Predators to this point. So they kind of feel almost this like allegiance to the young guys who got them here. And then all of a sudden the lineup was shaken up and things weren't how they were quote unquote supposed to be. So I understand their frustration. It's like, I'm not good with change. I don't like when, if things work, don't fix it. And I think that's kind of how fans feel about the lineup last night.
Well, I feel like he overcoached, you know, like
he tried to do too much.
He had to do something. Like, he had to go out there and do something to press the right button to win the game. And hey, if they had won, we'd be saying that was great coaching.
Well, just
like
we did when Laviolette
changed the lineup in 2017 and put in Harry Zolnerchuk. And we thought, what the hell are they doing over there? And then all of a sudden it worked. So maybe that's where we are there. I don't know. We are still efforting Mark Howard along here with his thoughts on game number one. But the lineup, I thought Hines screwed up. I think he rolled the dice. I think it ultimately blew up in his face. Mm-hmm. And I don't look at it as any more than that. But I was just scrolling through the text line. It was like, bench this guy, sit this guy, play this guy. I'm like, hey, we got to, you know, Carolina's supposed to be better than the Predators. They're one of the best teams in the league, if not the best team in the NHL. They are supposed to be there. So I guess I struggle with getting there exactly. What else do we have in the text line?
Another texter texted in and said, Ryan Ellis should be sat the rest of the series, to kind of go off the fact that, like, the text line is just not so pleased about the Predators lineup. Another texter said the lineup that Hines put out was not good enough. That's on him. He needs to put the best players on the ice. Then if they're not good enough, it is on the players and Poile. But last night was on some players.
If they lose the series, it'll be on Poile. Mark Howard joins us now on the program with his reaction to game number one. Mark, the fans are all over the place, especially with Hines on the lineup or certain guys with effort level. And what did you make of the Preds' loss last night in game number one?
Yeah, I don't really think that the lineup had a lot to do with why the Predators lost. I think Carolina was ready. I think they were ready to play a physical game. They actually out-hit the Predators. And I think familiarity hurt the Predators in this particular case. They weren't going to take Carolina by surprise. Even after 40 minutes, the stats were tilted in Carolina's favor. So it was hardly a surprise that the Hurricanes won the third period. But your good players have to play better. Josi and Ryan Ellis did not play very well last night, or Ekholm for that matter. But Josi had a terrible game. And sometimes plus-minus doesn't reveal, just how you played. But he was -3 last night for sure. That showed up on the scoreboard.
We were talking about this earlier, but it feels like in order to play the kind of game John Hines wants, it's got to be that kind of Barry Trotz hockey, muck it up, good goaltending, pack it in, very compact. Do you think that they can actually do that against Carolina, or is Carolina too good for that?
I don't think you can win that way. I think you can maybe beat them, once, maybe twice, but you're not going to win a series that way. You can win a game that way. But last night was just, it just showed that Carolina has so much depth. The Jordan Staal play, splitting Josi and Ekholm for that second goal was just unbelievable. I mean, it absolutely, knocked the Predators back on their heels. The third goal, you can't leave Nito Niederreiter alone in the slot. I don't know what Johansson was doing, or Josi for that matter. But you can't leave a player like Niederreiter, wide open like that. I thought that UC Saros played well enough to win, but I think they can play that style, Jared. But I also think in the long run, that's not going to get them where they want to go.
What do you think the fair level of reaction is to game number one? You've been doing this for a long time, Mark. You know that you lose a game and it feels so much more magnified. It's like football season. You lose week one and some people are like, oh, there goes the season. And it's like, calm down, calm down. I still think if they take game two, then they've got maybe a chance, although I feel less about it after Greg Wyshynski came on the show and said no, even if they take game two. What do you think the fair level of reaction should be towards the loss last night?
Well, I think that the charges of coaching malpractice by John Hines is ridiculous. We know what he was trying to do, but much like my cardiologist will tell me, too much beef is never good, and that's what we saw last night. The addition of Olivier, in the long run, as we found out, just didn't work. And a team like Carolina's got a Stanley Cup caliber team. They can beat you playing physical. They can play you, a speed game. The Predators can really only beat you one way. And I just think that in this particular case, people overreacted to last weekend. People overreacted to those two wins over Carolina when it didn't mean a flip to them. And then we saw last night what happened when the Hurricanes got serious again. And I mentioned it when I was out with Rex Road last Thursday and Friday. People were going to get too crazy over those last two games and just normally assume that the Predators were going to be able to play with them on an even keel. And they just couldn't do it last night. So you can't be fooled into thinking that it was just the third period. Yeah, too many Preds players took the night off. The Grantland, Cunning, Yarncroke line didn't show up. I mean, zero shots. The penalty kill was good, obviously 5 for 5, but the power play was non-existent. The Predators need every edge to beat Carolina, and last night you saw. I mean, they're going to be able to hang with Carolina for 40 minutes sometimes on just about every occasion. But it's going to sort of be like the year the Predators beat the Red Wings 4-1. All the games were close, but Bob Babcock or Mike Babcock said after the game, he was the coach of the Red Wings at the time, in reality, it wasn't really close. And that's what this series could end up looking like.
Mark Howard with us. Okay, what good did you like from last night?
I liked their compete level. I mean, the Preds came out And you know, they tried to play a physical game, and they did a decent job, but you know, time and time again, Carolina was able to smother them in the neutral zone. The Carolina's forecheck really bothered the Preds, and that's what we found out. They put a lot of pressure on the Preds' D-men, and all six of them coughed it up. I mean, all six of them had trouble, but the third D-pairing has got to be changed, and I'm sure, you know, that's going to happen too. You just sort of figure it out as you go along, but these series, as we've learned in the past, are all about adjustments, and Carolina, you know, you look at them from their first line to their fourth line. I mean, they are really, really good, and we got a taste of it last night.
Mark Howard is with us. Is it wrong going back to Hines? I'm with you. I don't think that what Hines did was criminal. I said on Friday when he hinted with you guys on Friday that he may, you know, put Ellie Tolvanen down. I said I disagree with it. You know, not that I think he's crazy for doing it. I disagree with putting Fabbro and Ellie Tolvanen down. But don't you, like, I still feel like Hines is a little culpable. Not 100%, not 50%, not, but if there was a blame pie, I think he deserves a slice. Do you feel that same way as far as the lineup was concerned? Because that third pair was terrible last night.
Well, I mean, you know, ultimately the coach is going to fall on the coach. And Hines knows that. And I think he knows that, you know, the second game, that lineup is going to look different than it did last night. And again, you know, he sort of felt like playing a physical game gave them maybe the best chance of beating Carolina. They felt like if they came out, you know, they could maybe, run Carolina around a little bit, but that wasn't the case. Carolina showed that they can play physically, and they answered it.
Mm-hmm. Mark Howard with us. Okay, we'll turn our attention to game two. Mark's going to stay with us. Mark, I want your opinions on what the Predators have to do to win game two and how much that would mean getting back in the series. That's next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Mark Howard is with us. Stillman and Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving on ESPN 1025, the game.
I think the core principle here, you know, as it was last night after the game, and, you know, a lot of the themes of the questions are some of the guys that are in or out. But, you know, I'll go back to it. The players that we count on every single game here, there needs to be an elevation in their game. And when that happens, the players that play big minutes, the players that play tough matchups, the players that, you know, you're never really considering taking in or out of the lineup, there needs to be an elevation in their game. And that's how you win. That's how you win in the playoffs. Those guys have to be able to produce. And then when you make these other lineup changes, you know, there are additions to that. But the main group here needs to be better.
There you go. That was John Hines. When John Hines was hired, David Poile said the players that are supposed to be good players aren't playing well enough as a group, and that's why he made the change. And here you are in the playoffs, game one. The players that are supposed to be good players are not playing that way, and John Hines needs them to play better. Mark Howard is with us. So, Mark, let's turn our attention to game two. And I look at game two, and I think, hey, you know, losing game one on the road is not the end of a playoff series. We've seen time and time again, not for the Predators, but for other teams, where you just take one on the road and you keep on trucking. You go back home, you win at home, and you turn that series around. Do you think that a win in game two would make everything all well and good going into game three at home?
Well, maybe, yeah, we're so in the moment when it comes to the playoffs. So obviously, if they won game two, they'd have home ice advantage, at least going into game three. Mm-hmm. That would make everybody happy. No question about that.
What do you think has to happen in order for them to beat Carolina in game two?
Well, I think, first of all, they have to handle Carolina's pressure better, their forecheck. They also have to do a better job of hunting pucks in their own end. Carolina did a good job of chipping and chasing and extending their time in the offensive zone by winning those battles, you know, getting the puck in and then, you know, retrieving the puck behind the net. So they've got to do better in that regard. And I just think that Hines is going to tinker with his lineup, In my opinion, he's probably got to blow up that second line and maybe put Grantlin with Duchesne and Tolvin in and then figure out what he's going to do for a third line. But, it's all in how you tinker with your lineup. You know, we always see this. We always see, coaches, bringing players, into the mix to try to give their team energy. And the Predators have to play with a little more desperation. We saw that with Carolina. That they came out last night. And really, it was 2-2 after two. But Carolina, as we saw, had the edge in shots on goal, hits, scoring chances. And after a while, that's going to take a toll on you. And Elie Tolvanen, I thought for the most part, we not seeing Tolvanen definitely didn't help things. But UC Saros, I thought, played well enough for them to win. But he just can't be expected, to make, some of those secondary saves after the initial save last night. The third goal was pretty much a case in point. Made a great save. But then the puck got loose behind the net, and we saw Niederreiter all alone in front. That fourth goal was just a tough goal. I mean, that's what I always tell you. There's no such thing as a bad shot, because that thing had eyes, and it managed to trickle through, and that was it.
Mark Howard's our guest. Mark, John Hines kind of hinted today at being open to the idea of splitting up Josi and Ellis. Would you do that in game two?
Yeah, I don't think anything's off the table. I was really surprised. Josi has to play better. That's the other thing. If Josi doesn't play better, they don't have much of a chance, because Yossi's going to log 24 minutes of ice time like he did last night, and he can't be doing what he did. And, if there's one sort of, negative aspect, to Yossi's career, he hasn't always been great in the postseason. But last night, especially, one of the worst games I've ever seen him play, since he's become an elite defenseman.
Is it wrong for me to look at Ryan Ellis? And I was talking with somebody about this today. And it's that when I think of Ryan Ellis in the playoffs, I think about Blake Wheeler and those big forwards from Winnipeg just swallowing him up in the defensive zone and just throwing him around. And we all remember what Jamie Benn did to him in the Dallas series, when he had him in the corner and just moved him aside like a rag doll. And I thought last night Ellis's size was a problem. And I thought Carolina kind of pushed him around. And I wonder if he can play against those top-end forwards on good teams, on cup-contending teams, in the playoffs, or maybe he's just better off being a second pair guy.
It's a good question. And, on some nights he can. And one of the things that was remarkable about a younger Ryan Ellis was the way that he handled, as Barry Trotz used to say, the way he handled weight, that he could go up against bigger players and be successful. But sometimes I still don't believe that Ellis is 5'10", but that's just me. suddenly if a defenseman is 5'9", it becomes a huge liability. I think you understand what I'm saying. So I don't know. But whatever the case, yeah, I mean, that's a fair assessment. I think there are some nights when Ellis has a hard time against heavier teams.
What do you make of Johansson last night?
I thought he was okay. I thought he made a great play on that, on the Forsberg goal. So that was a good sign for me. I thought he played fine. I didn't have a huge problem with Joey last night. I thought he was, he had the lapse in the defensive end, though, on that third goal. No question about that. But I thought, by and large, in the defensive end, he played okay.
I just wonder if fans maybe point the finger at Johansson anytime something happens and he's involved in it. The expectations for Johansson are so high and they haven't been met for so long that there's like anger at Johansson anytime something goes wrong and he's involved in it at all.
Yeah. He's never going to make his living on his defensive play.
True.
Crispy would say last night he needed to have his head on a swivel and know that Niederreiter was, you know, was right there, you know, about 2 feet from his right shoulder. And, you know, that's how Carolina went ahead in the game. And really that goal changed the game. And I'm sure Joey would tell you that some of that's on him.
I asked John Hines today, Mark Howard's our guest. I asked John Hines today about Duchesne, who I think saw the least amount of ice time in 5-on-5 last night. Ian brought up, you know, kind of wondering why Duchesne is not on the power play unit. And John Hines did say that he thinks he's going to need to get Matt Duchesne in the game more in game two. Mark, I'm looking at Duchesne and I'm like, I feel like they need to play him. And we need to figure out, okay, is this guy overrated and kind of a bust of a signing? Or can this guy, you know, do what he did a couple of years ago against Tampa Bay? But for some reason, it feels like Hines is a little reluctant to trust Duchesne. What do you think about that?
I was surprised last night because I went back and watched. Because as you said, you know, most of the forwards had 21 or 22 shifts. And Duchesne only had 16. And I thought, he must have played like crap then, but he really didn't. He made a really nice play on the Holla goal. And, you know, I mean, you can really start to expect, you know, too much sometimes in the defensive end from a guy like Duchesne. But he wasn't the reason why they lost the game, and I agree with you. If you're paying the guy $8 million a year, you can't bury him on the third line and not give him power play opportunities. I mean, it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, you know, if he doesn't start scoring.
Last one for you, Mark Howard. If the Predators win game two, how will they have to do it?
Again, I think they're going to have to play from ahead a little bit longer. And I think puck possession. I thought Carolina dominated the third period. And the Preds were just, you know, after two periods, you just sort of felt like the Preds were playing with fire. And I just think, you know, they've got to step it up. They can't get out hit. They've got to be a little bit smarter and not give this team five power play opportunities because they'll get buried if that's the case. So they've got to be a little bit smarter, and they've got to handle Carolina's pressure.
Mark Howard, he is one of the best in the business, as always, Mark. We will talk soon.
All right, bud. Thanks.
Yep, Mark Howard. I absolutely love talking to Mark Howard. I will say this. I have been watching and listening to Mark Howard since I was like 3 or 4 years old, and I will tell you that there is nobody that I like talking to when something bad happens to the Titans or the Predators. There is nobody I like talking to more than Mark Howard. Now, when something good happens to the Titans or the Predators, I still like talking to Mark Howard, but nothing like I like talking to Mark Howard when things are bad.
I feel like the inflection in his voice is the same whether it's good or bad, and it's hilarious.
I will say this. I mean, I do feel like Mark, man, he was unfiltered right there, which is, of course, how we like our people on our show.
Absolutely. This
coming
is an
up
unfiltered
next,
show.
Coming up next, well, we'll have Hal on at 5:30. We'll see. But coming up next here on the program, three up, three down, three things we liked from last night's game, and let me set for the record, it's hard to find three. Three things we like from last night's game. Three things we did not like from last night's game. That is next. Stillman and Company, it is a reaction game day to the Predators. Down 0-1 to Carolina. Game 2 tomorrow. We'll see. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.